Do you ever entertain yourself or others by pretending to be somebody else? Well, it's pretty obvious that a majority of Americans enjoy watching other people do this. Most of the entertainment industry involves actors, those who are paid to portray fictional or even real characters, whether this is in movies or on TV shows or in scripted plays. Now, I didn't really get involved with acting as a child or an adolescent, but just like any child, I would sometimes pretend to be somebody else, use my imagination, think of myself perhaps as a superhero or a star athlete. But then about 10 years ago, I was asked to take part in a drama that our church's at our church's Monday-Thursday service. Well, I hesitantly accepted that request, as acting and memorizing lines didn't come natural to me. But I put in the work in order to memorize lines, get familiar with the surroundings, focus on gestures, voice inflection, and such things, expressions. Now, in this drama, there were four of us who were to recite a monologue, each one portraying a different point of view of a particular witness to the events that led up to Jesus' crucifixion. Now, I was to speak these events from the perspective of Pontius Pilate. So in telling his side of the story, I was able to see these events through the eyes of another person. You see, my goal was to convince others that they were seeing and hearing Pontius Pilate, not Aaron Thompson. And it was a very interesting experience. It was also fun last year to watch Emily and Sam as they were in a play based on the movie Frozen. While on stage, we weren't watching Emily and Sam. We were watching their characters, Anna and Kristoff. Their words, their appearance, their mannerisms, they weren't their own, but that of these two fictional characters. Even our youngest son, Levi, often pretends to be the Doctor from the Doctor Who series. Now, this type of acting is all in good fun, isn't it? But it's a whole different story when somebody tries to portray himself or herself as somebody that they're not. Now, what do I mean by this? Do you ever act completely different around certain people than you do others? Do you behave properly when people are watching you, and yet when you're all by yourself, you give in to some sinful behaviors? Or do you criticize other people for committing the same sins that you do, but you fail to confess? Or do you tell flattering lies to someone to their face, and yet badmouth him or her behind their backs? We see politicians on TV. They go around shaking hands and kissing babies. It's probably not happening too much this year, but it happens in public quite a bit. And yet these same politicians will sometimes go back and their votes are according to the special interest groups who have given them much funding. They're worried less about their constituents. So what do we call these type of people? We call them hypocrites. And we think that we're better than that, don't we? I mean, how many people confess to their own hypocrisy? Kind of goes against the nature of a hypocrite. But in today's passage, we see where Jesus examines hypocrisy, especially religious hypocrisy, as it relates to our giving and to our prayer. Now, today I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at verses 1 through 6 in today's sermon. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, Sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's God's holy word. Now again, this passage comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Are you starting to get the feeling that Jesus' sermon wasn't very uplifting? Too much talk about sin, conviction. Here we see him call people hypocrites. I don't think Jesus would have made a very good modern-day feel-good megachurch pastor. Well, now we come to this passage here in chapter 6. As Jesus has moved from chapter 5, where he talked primarily about breaking God's law, now to what it means to practice righteousness correctly. Perhaps it seems, when we examine the scriptures, that Jesus has given us contradictory teachings when it comes to performing good works. Now look again at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And then he later says that it's better to do these things in secret. But back in chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, Jesus also says that he didn't come to abolish the law. He says the law is good. He says his disciples will be obedient to God's commands. And yet Jesus had the harshest rebukes for those people who followed the law most strictly. So what are we to do as Christians? How should we obey God? How should we practice our righteousness? Well, when we look again at Jesus' words in verse 1, we need to realize first that he had assumed that the people were carrying out good deeds, that they were doing these acts of righteousness. So that wasn't the issue. But as with his previous teachings, Jesus sought more than mere outward obedience. He wants to dig deeper. He wants to examine people's hearts. What is our inward motive in obedience? So as Jesus had already explained, breaking the law is wrong, but so is having a sinful attitude in our hearts. And here Jesus explains it's not enough to do good deeds, but we must have the right motives for doing them. So is it possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason? Sure it is. I think we can all agree on that. Well, is this really that bad if we are doing what is right? Well, God considers our bad motives as sin. Those who make it their aim to please other men will often do good deeds for selfish reasons. They want to look good in front of others. They want people to think that they are holy. Now, when we behave that way, we are simply marketing ourselves. We're trying to advance our own cause. And our society encourages this. For example, when you are seeking a new job, you have to do what is necessary to promote yourself. You want this company to see you as the better employee, not the next guy. And so sometimes we're tempted to stretch the truth a little bit, embellish our skill set and our experience on our resume or in the interview. So do we ever give in to that temptation? Do we justify such things as being mostly true? Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that we're better than we really are. But bending the truth or hiding the truth is still a lie. God doesn't honor that. If your goal is simply to look good in front of others, these people may reward you. But Jesus says God won't reward that behavior. Now, pretty much all of Jesus' teachings can be linked back to what he refers to as the two greatest commandments. Number one, love God supremely. And number two, love others as yourself. But do we actually honor and obey these commandments? Remember last week's sermon? Who do you love? Well, if I'm honest, I love me. It's true. I mean, if somebody else gets offended, well, that's bad. But if I'm offended, then it just seems like all is wrong in this world. How could that person go and do that and tear down my castle? I'm the king of my life. I know what's best. That's my pride talking. You see, it's not easy to put God before self. We say that we do this, but do we practically put God first? And do we truly love others, or do we just use them in order to bring us pleasure? Now, in this lesson, Jesus is telling us that our righteous deeds are to be done, number one, for God's glory to be put on display, and number two, that we would show love to others, not show off in front of others. So let's examine some practical advice for carrying out these righteous deeds. In verse 2, Jesus says, "When we give to the needy, we are not to do what the hypocrites do." Now, if we look through the gospel accounts, we find that when Jesus uses this term hypocrite, he's speaking generally to these religious authorities, scribes, Pharisees. But where does this word hypocrite come from, and what does it mean? Well, our English word hypocrite comes from the original Greek hypokrites, that has the basic meaning of one who gives an answer. But it's also spoken of someone who stands up in front of others, as I'm doing right now, an orator, someone who recites literature, poetry, or just an actor. Now, Greek actors would often wear a mask, or they would disguise their voices for the audience. They didn't want the audience to see their true person, but that of the character. So a hypocrite came to refer to a person who acts or speaks with a false pretense, someone who hides his motives, hides his true character. Now, in this context, Jesus is saying that the hypocrites were performing their deeds for selfish reasons, that they had hidden motives. As we'll see in the upcoming verses, Jesus mentions three different areas in which these people were acting hypocritically in their religious activities. Number one, in their giving. Number two, in their prayers. And number three, in their fasting. Now, today we'll look at the first two, giving and prayers. Now, Jesus proclaims his first warning on hypocrisy in regards to giving to the needy. So what's the problem here? Well, Jesus says the hypocrite will give in a way that brings attention to himself. He will sound the trumpet, so to speak. So when he gives, he wants others to take notice of what he has contributed. So this goes back to verse 1. The hypocrite will give to the needy in order to be seen by others. Okay, hold on. Didn't Jesus say that we are to let our light shine so that others would see our good deeds? Yes, he did say that. But why are we to do this? What is the purpose? He said, so that they would give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He says that God gets the glory for our deeds. But here in verse 2, the hypocrites wanted others to see their so-called generosity for a different reason. That was so that they would be praised by others. They wanted the glory. They didn't care if God gets glory. They wanted the attention. Now, what might this look like? Giving contributions in a hypocritical manner. Well, the Pharisees may not have sounded a literal trumpet when they were giving their gifts. Perhaps they did in order to call the needy over so that they would see that they are giving out their alms. But either way, these guys were prideful. They wanted the word to be spread that they were holy men and they were very generous people. So they likely flaunted their gifts in public places. Evidently, it was even common knowledge that these people tithed their herbs and spices. As we heard this, or as Jesus speaks of later in Matthew 23. But how about in our day? What might we be doing that would show us to be giving in a hypocritical manner? Well, let me pick on some low-hanging fruit first, some easy targets. We know that hospitals and arenas and universities will sometimes receive a very large donation from a wealthy businessman or former alumni. And if that donation is large enough, the donor may require that his name be put up on one of the buildings. There have been some hospitals that have changed their names to that of the donor. I know of a certain hospital chain that has several statues of the donor in front of some of their buildings. So he has essentially purchased his legacy all in the name of philanthropy. But this happens on a smaller scale as well. How many regular, normal people, not the wealthy businessmen, but how many normal people will give smaller donations and they're pleased to see their name up on a wall of donors somewhere. I see that Bob has given $500 to this charity, carved into a brick or engraved somewhere. Now maybe this hits close to home. Maybe some of us have given and seen our names up on a wall somewhere. But we need to examine our motives in doing this. Do we need to be recognized for our donations, whether it's to a church, to a school, or other organization? Is it really that important to have our name be put on memorials or gifts of some sort? We ask ourselves, why do I give? If we want to be recognized for our generosity, then it isn't true generosity. Would others see you as a generous person if they examined your bank statement? If they looked at your check registry? That might be a more telling sign. Jesus says that faithful giving is done in secret. We aren't concerned about others knowing how much we have given. Jesus even says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, don't even bring it up to yourself. If you have given in the past, don't keep telling yourself, reminding yourself, I remember that donation I gave 10 years ago. I'm such a good person. And we don't say these things out loud, but sometimes we remember these things, justifying ourselves. But our giving is to be second nature. We give simply because we are generous people. And if others take notice of your giving, and they likely will if you are generous, then it really doesn't affect you. You see, your reward doesn't come from men, but it comes from God. Now, God may give you material rewards if you are generous. He may bless you that way, but maybe not. You want to be obedient to God. And therefore, when you do this with a humble heart, God gives you contentment. You are laying up treasures in heaven. You're not worried about how much you have, how much you give, but you just give because God has given you that kind of humility and generosity. Well, Jesus then moves from hypocrisy in our giving to hypocrisy in our prayer life. Well, how does he say that the hypocrites are to pray? He says in verse 5, "For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." Now, is it a sin to pray aloud in a public place? Well, hopefully not. I mean, we do this every week here in our church and in other churches. Men of God did this in the temple, as we see in Scripture. But again, the sin is found in that phrase, "so that they may be seen by others." You see, the people saw those Pharisees as holy men. They looked at them as the righteous ones of their day, and that added to their pride. Do you remember in Luke 18, the Pharisee's prayer, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, where he says, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." That was his prayer, saying aloud in front of other people. So his prayer's focus was his own glory. He wanted others to know just how righteous he was. But what about us? Do we make much of ourselves in the way that we pray? Do we want others to know how eloquently we pray? How long, how often we pray? What time of day we get up to pray? Who all is on our prayer list? Are we trying to appear holy in order to impress others? But what are we truly like when people aren't watching us? Now, this could go for other forms of worship as well, not just prayer. And maybe you're not actually seeking to impress other people with your prayers. Maybe you just want to appease your own conscience. You want to feel better about yourself when you pray. You may say, "Well, I can check my prayer time off the list this morning, and now it's time to read my Bible for 20 minutes. But once again, we need to examine ourselves, examine our motives for our prayer time and other worship activities. Now, I admit, this is a convicting passage for me, as with any pastor. I mean, we want to be in front of our congregation giving articulate prayers. I don't want to stand up here and stumble through a prayer just babbling incoherently. But what is my goal? Am I trying to impress other people? Or am I humbling myself before a good and holy God? So I must glorify God in my prayer, not myself. And that must be the aim for all of us. Our prayer is to bring honor to God and to show love to others. He is worthy. We come before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So how can we not be humble? When we look at Isaiah 6, we see Isaiah trembling before the throne of God, falling down as if he were a dead man. And that should teach us humility when we come to God in prayer. This is not some weak God that we can boss around, whine when he isn't giving us what we want. This is the creator of the universe, the one who gave us life. And we have the privilege to come to him in prayer. So we don't pray in order to gain praise of men. And likewise, we don't sing songs in order to gain praise of men. But when we pray, we come and pray to an audience of one. He is your Father. He wants you to talk to him, not simply about him. And God will reward those who seek him in faith and humility. But our problem is we often make too much of ourselves and think too little about God. We need to be more like John the Baptist, who said, he must increase and I must decrease. Now, I had a lot of questions for us to consider this morning, but here's my main one for you. Do you wear a mask in front of others? Not a literal mask. I'm not talking about these. But do you hide your true self? Do you hide your true intentions from other people? Sometimes it's easy to hide the real you from others. But what does your wife say about you? What does your husband know that others don't know? Could your kids reveal anything embarrassing about you? And perhaps sometimes we're tempted perhaps there are some temptations that we have given into when no one else was looking. So that's the kind of mask I'm talking about. And I'm sure that all of us have acted in hypocrisy at times. So we need to be honest with each other, don't we? We need to be real people. And sometimes it's just hard to do this, though, because we continually sin. We don't want people to know how sinful we really are. But let us at least practice our righteousness for the right motives. Start with that. Give to the needy. Give to the church for the right reason. We don't need to give so that others would know how much we're giving. We don't seek the praise of others when we contribute. And when we pray and when we worship, we don't do this to impress people. We fear God. We don't fear men. Now, will you fall short of God's standard of holiness? Well, yeah, it's very likely you will, and so will I. But we have a God who forgives us when we come to Him, confess our sins. We have a perfect, risen Savior who paid for our sins so that we can have His righteousness. And as we continue to trust in Jesus, He will help us to grow as Christians. We become more holy day by day as we grow in Christ's likeness. So let us put on Christ and His righteousness and not put on the mask of hypocrisy. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before You this morning knowing that we have sinned against a holy God. We have been hypocrites at times. All of us have. We know that. So God, help us to be real. Help us to come to one another, speaking honestly about our shortcomings, asking that others would pray for us. Help us through these things. Sure, we want to practice righteous deeds, but help us to do this for the right reason, that we would show You love, that we would honor others, not just feel good about ourselves and not just make ourselves look good in front of others, that they would think, what a righteous person he is. So God, we ask for Your help. We can't do this without Your help. So we come humbly before You, knowing that You are the one who guides us through Your word. And I pray that You would soften our hearts, give us honesty to be real with one another, that we could live together, not as a perfect people, but as a people growing in holiness for Your glory. We pray this in Your name, Lord. Amen.